Palms are fun.
Well, a lot of people here tonight. I saw some new faces come in as we were in worship. I don't know about you, but I've had a blast so far. Woo. Jesus is awesome. I don't know, after worship services like that, you know, you want to come up here and be so excited and say all this stuff, and sometimes you just say, amen, Jesus, that was awesome. That's how I'm feeling about right now. Once again, just thank you guys so much. You could be doing anything right now. You could be playing COD Black Ops. You could be on Facebook. You could be working. You could be just chilling with friends. But you know what? You chose to be here. You took your time and came out here. And I appreciate that. But not only that, God appreciates that, that you take time and make it for Him. Tonight, I'm going to try to move this box. It's got the special. Tonight is marked by the blood night. We've not really had themes much in a while, but we kind of have built a set around it. Tonight, kind of just key, and hopefully it's enough for everyone to see. I don't know if you're on one side, you're going to be focusing more on the other. But I want you to go ahead and get in your head. We've got the story of two lives here tonight. Someone with Kleenex crazy over here. But you've got a life marked by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have a life not marked by Him. We're going to talk about that. By the way, I don't have the scriptures up on the board tonight. I just have this background. It kind of gets you thinking. I'm going to read the scripture, Exodus chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and every firstborn male animal. In the land of Egypt, I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood upon your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you're staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. The doors marked by the blood. I want to pray again, and we're going to get started. Father, tonight, God, I thank you for an opportunity to speak your word. God, I thank you that you are a risen God, that you're an alive and living person. Jesus, you're not some guy with a heart sitting on our dashboard. You're the one who lives inside our hearts and walks with us. And tonight, God, as we explore what it means to be marked by your blood, God, I pray that I could speak your words, not mine, and we could all understand you and know more about you and lives to be touched. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Jesus is good stuff. I want to just say thanks to a couple people that helped make this happen. Randy with security. We've got security. He takes his time out to come here. And what you didn't know was we have a security team patrolling the facility at all times just to be sure that you guys are safe. That's awesome that they do that. We had Kevin and Kay Woth and so many other people cook you guys food. I don't know. Some good hot dogs. I actually didn't get to eat one. Were they good? Anybody like them?
Oh, yeah.
I saw a lot of people eating. So. It's really a blessing that, you know, God has opened up the doors for us even able to do that. Little did you know that tonight I stand here thankful before God because this youth ministry, I became youth pastor about six months ago, I don't know. And I had a vision for not like this for like a year. Became youth pastor and God just opened up the doors to let us do this grant. This is the fourth time. This is the fourth time letting you know we're not going to be having one in December. We're going to be having one because this one's November the 20th. The next one's going to be January the 8th. I think that's the second Saturday of January. We're going to be, it's going to be a huge New Year's blowout. And we're having a conference here in the month of December. It's called the New Life Weekend Conference. If you're interested, just have a weekend. You know, you don't have to travel far away. Have a good time. Spend some time with Jesus. It's a weekend in which literally we're going to just step in here, forget about the world, let Facebook slip away. I just laugh at you, John. It's just on your face. I'm just kidding. You made a funny face at me. But we're going to be having an awesome thing here. And I'm going to quit right now. I'm going to talk. Thank you, John Birchfield. He's our ambassador at TTSU. He was my summer intern here. And basically glorified slave. If you're wondering what that means, I'm just kidding. No, we're actually accepting interns for next summer. But John went off to MTSU, and he was really helping out a lot here. He's like, well, man, I'm going to college, but I still want to be part. And I was like, man, I'll just call you the ambassador to MTSU. You're going to see people saved, speak for the Lord, and it's going to be awesome. But tonight, I want to get straight into this story without much more ado. I've got one question that you're going to hear me say 30 times tonight. It's, is your life marked by the blood? Is your existence marked by the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not talking about the blood. This is just a neat Halloween blood. I'm not talking about, no, we're not to the Halloween store, no. My question is are you, is your life marked by the blood of Jesus Christ? You see, this story picks up. It's about the Israelites. And they're leaving the land of Egypt. They're about to leave the land of Egypt. And God has sent 9 plagues on Pharaoh, and this is the 10th one. Because every time Pharaoh would be like, yeah, I'll let people go, changes his mind, holds God's people back. And it was God's desire, sending Moses and Aaron, to tell the Pharaoh, let his people go, so that they can go and worship the Lord. But you see, Pharaoh said no. He said no after people got covered in bulls, and frogs, and gnats, and crazy stuff happening in the sky, water turning into blood. And it didn't get his attention. I'm telling you, if I was standing by the river, God walks up and says, either let my people go, or I'm going to turn this river, turn this river into blood. Or it happens, and this river I'm in literally turns to blood, things start dying. I'm probably going to let these people go, because I'm pretty scared. You're not going to send I'm not going to send people go. Okay, well, have some frogs, and then my house gets overtaken with frogs. I'm probably going to let his people go. But this guy just didn't get it. And finally, God says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill the firstborn son of every family in Egypt. I'm going to kill even the firstborn animal. Some of you people love animals. Oh, no, the doggies. Yeah, the doggies, they died. Sorry. Every firstborn of a pup, a litter of pups, died. That kind of caught me off guard. I was like, Lord, you're killing animals too. But God doesn't play jokes. And so he says, what's going to happen is I'm going to send a spirit and it's going to kill the firstborn son and firstborn animal of every family in Egypt. And he says, let me tell you what you're going to need to do. You need to take the blood of the lamb and mark it on your door, Israel, or else I'm going to come into your house and death's going to come in. About ADD's kicking in. But tonight, we have that story. Now see, I think that was, sometimes God uses stuff in the Bible to show us a picture of things. You see, this is thousands of years ago, but it's a picture of the blood of Christ. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And you see, tonight we're going to be talking about, we're going to skip over Jesus' story. Now, if I said, who is Jesus to you? I would say there would be a lot of responses. Our culture likes to have Jesus, this little bitty figure called Buddy Jesus with a heart on his chest, and he's doing this right here. All the time, that's all Jesus ever is. You know, he's this guy with white, his face is white, and he has this like brown hair and blue eyes. And by the way, Jesus was not white. I'm just going to put that out there. Was very not white. He wasn't white. Great spin there. People there aren't white. But we have this picture of Jesus. He's pretty. He's kneeling by the garden. But you see, I think we've missed it. If Jesus is just our buddy, he doesn't care anything about what we do. He doesn't care anything about our lives. But he's just this guy that gives us a thumbs up from now and then. Something's screwed up about that. Jesus is not some plastic figurine you go buy at Hastings. No, Jesus is the Son of God. And he needs to be more than you, than just a little piece of plastic. Let me tell you who my Jesus is. In the book of Isaiah 52. Now, a lot of people read Isaiah 53 about Jesus. It's a prophecy about Jesus and some of the things that's going to happen to him. But they missed out on Isaiah 52:14. I'm going to read actually all this. I want you to hear who Jesus is tonight. See, my servant will prosper, being highly exalted. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured. He seemed hardly human. From his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. And he would startle many nations. Kings would stand speechless in his presence, for they will see what they had not been told. They won't understand what they've been heard about it. Isaiah 52. I want you to hear that. So we've got this buddy Jesus. But sometimes people forget that Jesus died. You see, every religion in the world is fine. You know what Islam says about Jesus? It says, well, Jesus, right before he was been crucified, Allah miraculously delivered him. And a guy who looked like Jesus got crucified, but it wasn't really Jesus. You see, everyone likes Jesus until he dies. It's cool to have Jesus until there's a death there and there's a resurrection, because you see, when Jesus dies and rises again, that busts your perception of man. He's the Son of God. People like to have him on their shirts, like to have his face, a slap on the back of your car. But what does that really mean to you? Is it a sticker? Is it a lifestyle? Far too long have we sat in our nation with what would Jesus do on our wrists and let it never come out of our mouths. He lives on our wrists, on the back of our cars, and on t-shirts. But the question is he doing more than just on a t-shirt? Is he living through you and you could see him? If you never said anything, could I still see that you're a Christian? If you never spoke a word, never wore a t-shirt, I would say, you know, people need to be able to see the Jesus on you without you having to publicly declare it. Your life should speak his life. Your life should speak the fact that he's not in some grave, some dead God held by some big stone. No, he's alive. A guy named Francis of Assisi, St. Francis of Assisi, said this: preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. The world doesn't like Jesus alive. And the world likes Jesus. My bad. The world doesn't like Jesus back alive. They like to keep him in the grave. The scripture I read you says this: he was beaten to the point that one would scarcely know he was a person. So I want you to see your Jesus hanging on a cross with his face ripped off. I want you to see your Jesus with his organs hanging out of his side, saying it's worth it. Saying, not George be done, till he hung upon that cross and he said, it is finished, when he died. People don't like to see their Jesus. The movie, The Passion of Christ, it's great, I'm sure. Haven't watched it. I've seen a lot of pictures from it. That movie doesn't do it justice. The Bible, his face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. I see my Jesus walking at the cross, knowing that he's going to die for me and every other single person in the world, knowing he's going to get beat to the point that you think it's hamburger meat hanging on a cross, not a person. And he says, it's still worth it. Your Jesus needs to be bigger than a sticker on the back of your car. Christianity is not about you. Christianity needs to be Christ-like. And the question is, does your life reflect the Christ that you proclaim? Now see, we've got two stories. We have the story of the Passover and the story of the Son of God dying for you.
Isaiah 53. The servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. It's Isaiah 53:2. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced our rebellion, my rebellion, crushed for my sins. He was beaten so I could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed.
Your Jesus died for you. I don't know what your conception of Jesus is tonight. Maybe you're like, well, John, I don't really believe in Jesus. You know, that's not my thing. Whether you choose to acknowledge something, you know, sometimes in life we have this perception of reality that, well, you know, it's if I don't say it's real, it's not true. But guys, let me tell you something. There was a time in my life when I wasn't a Christian. I made fun of Christians. I used to walk through the school and mock them to their face. I thought it was a big joke. Until I found myself sliding down a gravel road at over 35 miles per hour about to go off a cliff. And I passed out and I woke up and I was in a ditch. And I got out of my car and I walked over and I saw four tire tracks turn into one on a dime and hit the side of a mountain. Let me tell you, God is alive. You can choose to believe that he's not, but there's signs all around you. The entire earth proclaims his reality of life. But tonight I'm going to talk about two doors. This is actually my bedroom door. I went home to my mom and said, yes, I love you, my mom. Still in college. I said, Mom, I'm going to take my bedroom door off the wall. And by now my mom is just like, have fun, John, you know, because that's just the kind of person. I'm taking you in the door. Oh, yeah, whatever. You're going to do it anyway. But we have a life right here. You see, tonight I want to key in on this thing. Is your life marked by the blood of Jesus? Because you see, Jesus dying on the cross and getting ripped up doesn't matter anything unless you acknowledge that and let him live in your heart. Just knowing that some God died doesn't cut it. The question is, do you know him, not know about him? And you see, we have a life. This is a nice door right here. Nice and clean. Organized. Everything looks great. This is my door. Right here. Get the next iPod. Be good for you. You know what? You should have sex with your girlfriend because that's what everybody does. No one's a virgin. Man, there's nothing wrong with getting high. It's good. Feels great. Feels awesome. The entire world is going to tell you, live life how you want. It's going to show you this nice white door. It says, man, you should have what's behind this door. It's so awesome. You know, you should just do the next cool thing because that's what would make you feel good. Well, isn't life about happiness? Life's fun. And everyone wants to live People Magazine. MTV. Well, if the people in Jersey Shore can do it, I can do it too. I can live life how I want. I can do whatever I want. And you see, when you do that and when you listen to everyone else, you've just lived the life of someone else. You're not even you anymore. So many times people sell out to this perception of, you know what, if I take this door like everyone else, it looks good, it looks clean, and I bet what's on the other side is awesome. And we live a life completely devoid of Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't something that happens on Sundays or Wednesdays. No, it's a lifestyle. It's an everyday thing. And if you dare call yourself the word Christian, you better back it up. Amen. People shouldn't question your faith. How dare you say that you're a Christ-like person and you don't live it? How dare you take His name? And that seems mean. But that's the reality. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I got drunk on Friday night. Oh, it's so awesome. Well, I'm a Christian, but yeah, didn't I see you with the joint in your mouth yesterday? Oh, I'm a Christian. Didn't you just say F you? So Jesus says F you, so Jesus gets drunk, so Jesus does drugs. Oh yeah, that's great. We need to stop living by People Magazine and start taking our life from the Bible. Because I'm going to tell you something. This looks great. In Proverbs 14:12 it says, there's a way, there's a path that looks good to a man, but its end is death. I'm telling you, if you try to be like everyone else and live an unmarked life, completely devoid by the blood of Jesus. Now you see, you can say, well, there's blood on the door, but do you see any? Oh, this is, there's blood on the line. I'm marked by Jesus. Do you see me? You judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. And I've got an answer for you. Behind door number one is a life of destruction. Behind door number one is a life of wreck. You see, the Bible talks about the doors that were marked with the blood, death couldn't go in. But a door that is not marked by the blood, death is welcome to come in and kill. If you want to live life how you want, just go ahead and put a sign up that says, Satan, kill me. If you want to live a life how you want, say, I want to be OD. A lot of people think drugs is fun. It's not fun when you carry your cousin's casket and put him in the ground because he OD'd on meth. It's real fun then, right? You think you're bad because you can put a joint to your mouth? You want to be a real man, why don't you pick up a Bible and live life different from everyone else? When you live life just like everyone else does, you're a weak person because you're following everyone else's steps. It takes a man to do something different. It takes a woman to do something different. It takes an unction to say, you know what? This door looks good. So I have sex. Well, you're pregnant. Have an STD. Don't have purity. Meet your husband and tell him, I've already done this with these people. Meet your wife and say, well, I've done this, this, and this, and this. Destruction. Ripped up stuff. Looks good, doesn't it? Man, the door looks awesome. Man, that life looks great, doesn't it? So awesome. Stuff thrown everywhere. Stuff across the floor. You get in the party and you realize that it's not as fun as you thought it was. This is the first life. This is where I would say a lot of our country is at today. They find a nice wide door. Looks great, man. Looks awesome. I'll live life how I want. There's a way that seems good to people. But it's in his death. Tonight, guys, some of the other live nights, last live night, I was talking about being a dream chaser. I'm so excited about being a dreamer. Being someone who does more than everybody else. Who sees life and looks at it bigger than other people. But I was praying, I was like, God, what do you want? And this just kept on coming back. Is your life marked by the blood? I'm not talking about do you say it is. I'm not talking about do you call yourself the word Christian. I'm not talking about do you call yourself something. The question is, are you the real deal?
I've got a second life over here.
This door looks old. Beat up. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 16, it says there's a wide path that leads to destruction, but a small path that leads to eternal life. It's easy to live life how you want. You want life easy? Live how you want. Pay the price. Everything has a price. You go to school, you buy a Coke, you pay a price. You go buy a new computer, you pay the price. Everything has a price. The question is, do you want to live a life of temporary pleasure for eternal punishment? Okay, have fun for 5 minutes. Is it worth the price? Is it worth laying up in a hospital and pumping your belly because you overdosed on drugs? Is it worth it? Is it worth the pain of dealing with diseases? Is it worth the pain of dealing with the hurt? Because when your life's not marked by the blood, destruction can come in. It's a wide open way. The wide path looks so beautiful, but destruction is its end. The Bible talks about Jesus wasn't something that anyone really would want. There was nothing great about his appearance. Who would ever say that this guy would make me want him? And I take you to door number two. An old beat up, dusty, blood-stained door that this country has let fall into some barn and slip away. You know, they say the United States is the third largest mission field in the world now. That only 4 in every 100 people our age is Christian. 4% of Americans in our generation are Christian. And there's this door. This beautiful, bloody door. It talks about if the door's covered in blood, destruction can't come in.
Sorry, I'm seeing so intense, guys. I don't know, man.
Tonight, are you a Christian? Or do you call yourself that word? You see, it's a simple thing to get beat up in life. It's a simple thing to call ourselves a Christian. You know, well, I'm a Christian. I'm this person. You know? But does the life behind the door reflect your life? And you see, I put this over here, and I wanted to show you something. That the door, like everyone else, looks great and awesome. It's really easy to take. If you just want to have that path going, have the processing and destruction and go. There's this other door over here, though. I don't want to carry it, but this door's kind of ghetto, and I'm afraid if I do, it's like going to break or something, but I don't care anyway. I stole this from my grandmother. I went to her garage, and I was like, I'm taking your door. She's like, dirty. And there's ants all over it. There's probably still some crawling around. I don't know. But there's something about the idea this man walked the earth 2,000 years ago for me.
Hallelujah.
There's just something about this idea that some man named Jesus, Jesus walked to a cross and said, you know what, I'm going to take it. That when his side started coming out, he said it's still worth it. There's something about the fact that a son of God came to this earth and died for me and loved me and gave his everything. You see, I'm not so worried. You might say, well, John, I don't acknowledge that. Well, that's fine. I want to introduce you to someone named Jesus tonight. I'm going to introduce you to this man. You see, I was a person bound by addictions, bound by bondages. I lived my life in darkness. I walked from place to place wanting to kill myself. I made fun of everyone else in the school because I hated my own life. And I tried to put people down to say this. And I was living behind this door. And you know what? It looked awesome until I got inside and I found out the penalty for selling myself to everyone to school was depression. When I found out the penalty to looking at crap on the computer was bondages from Satan. And I had a big perception of even what a woman was. Let me tell you what it's like. Let me tell you, I was this person that lived this life and it was so dark. I said this before in a long night. And I picked up a sword and I put it to my chest. I felt like I had no purpose. And I was like, if I just fell down, what would happen? I didn't believe in God. I was an atheist. Like everyone in my school, well, there's no God. Yeah, we can be Christians on Sunday. Live life how we want.
And I met this man. I went to this weekend retreat after my girlfriend told me she broke up with me if I didn't go.
That sounds terrible.
These people, some of these people from over there. I didn't believe in God. And I got in there and I said, you know what? My life sucks. I hate having destruction. I hate having to deal with death. I hate having no burdens. And I said, this is the last shot. If I don't get it out here, it's over. God, I don't even believe in you. Would you give me a chance? Would you listen to me? I don't believe in you. But I'll call out your name. And I found an amazing thing. When I called out that name of Jesus, I heard a voice come back to me. I call the name of God. I call the names of girls. I call the names of a computer. I call the names of friends. I call the names of things that live my life in this path over here. And I hated it and it sucked. And crap was torn up everywhere. My life was in pieces. But I called out this name. The name that I didn't believe in. And I said, Jesus. I didn't pray some big elaborate sinner's prayer. I said, God, I'll give you a shot. You're my last chance. If you'll help me, I'll live for you. And it's like someone walked up to me and took a backpack off my back. I felt life. I didn't even know what I just prayed. And it was like something was different. Something was changed. Jesus walked up to my dirty, beat up old life. And he said, it's covered by your blood. He walked up to me. It said it's covered by my blood. You don't have to face death anymore, John. You don't have to face punishment. You don't have to live in ripped up, tarnished life. And I found a reason to live. There's two doors. There's a beautiful one and there's a beat up one. I don't know about some of you, but my life was beat up. My life is still beat up sometimes. The Bible says in Psalm 91, verse 7, and I know I've been all over the place. My goodness. Psalm 91, verse 7 says this. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. And the King James says, though 1,000 may fall at your right side, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 may fall at your right side, but it will not come nigh your dwelling, says the Lord. I've got something to tell you tonight. You see, I've been painting you a picture of two lives. This is what People Magazine says we should have, and I don't want to three people, fine, have fun, it's cool, okay? I'm just saying, we've so long determined who we're going to be by what a television screen and a little book says. Far too long have we determined who we're going to be because everyone else says, I'm not challenging you to become a Christian because I'm saying, that's the only way. I challenge you to be different tonight. My challenge is for you is to not be like every other punk who can put a joint to his lip. My challenge to you tonight is to be different than everyone else. You want to have the real deal? You want to be a real bad butt? Why don't you try being a real man and woman and give your life to this Jesus guy? This was my wreck. This was my life, man. You flip it over, you'll find dirt and holes in it. Beat up. And this guy named Jesus. When I called out his name, he walked up to me, covered me by his blood, and everything was different. I found love. I found truth. I don't want to come up here and preach to you guys some big sermon out of some book. I want to tell you what worked for me. I went back to school that night. And I looked at the same people I had been making fun of people the day before and said, I can't do this anymore. I said, why? Is it because that Jesus guy? I gave my life to him. Lost all my friends. Every one of them. Every single one of them. I used to be a popular person. I went from popularity to some dark closet. And I loved every second of it. Because I found out that popularity and having friends and doing all this stuff. By the way, it didn't end like that. I had great friends now. Not about being popular anyway. And I found this thing called life. You see, the entire thing I'm talking about tonight, I'm about to close. Grant, go ahead and head on up there. Ben, go ahead and head on up there. The doors that are marked by the blood Death can't come in. I want you to think right now with me. I know I've probably been all over the place. I'm just overwhelmed right now.
I was praying, God, what do you want me to say?
And it just came back to this thing. It's your life marked by the blood, John. Has the blood of Jesus Christ covered your life? I don't give you some challenge tonight. I don't tell you to be a Christian because if not, you're going to burn in hell. No. Sorry.
People.
Yeah, okay, that's a truth. But I give you a challenge tonight. To be marked by the blood. To be different. To be you. To be the person that the Son of God made you to be. Do you know that you have a God in heaven who delights in you, who created you exactly how you are, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who knows every single hair upon your head, who knows your yesterday from your today and your tomorrow, who knows every single thing. He's your beginning and your end. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the Son of God who took a cross and died, but the grave couldn't hold him. He rose again from the dead. And when he rose again from the dead, he didn't just stop there. He went to heaven, and now he's living with us. He's the God who walks with us. The Bible talks about it in Isaiah chapter 7 as an Emmanuel, a God who walks with. And my question tonight is, do you feel lonely? Because I can tell you, if you're living life behind that door, I'd say it's a lonely place. I'd say it's a place alone. You might find yourself amidst the party and everyone's there having a blast, but you know, it just doesn't seem to cut it. Living life alone is a hard thing behind this beautiful door. The wide gate is so beautiful. Instructions. Tonight I told you a story. A story about some people who were wanting to be free. Who wanted to not live under bondage anymore. And you know what God did? He told them, put some blood over your door. I'm going to send death into places that don't have the blood and you're going to be free. When their doors were marked with the blood, free of heaven. I don't know, I could seem like I'm getting out there, but I just take that is tonight, if you're dealing with bondages, maybe you're dealing with depression, maybe you're feeling bound up, maybe you're hurting inside, maybe you feel alone, maybe you feel like killing yourself, maybe, you know, you're dealing with some addictions or drugs and you want to see deliverance in your life. I'm telling you, your solution's not going to happen at some rehab. It's not going to go that, it's deeper than that. I offer you a solution because you see, my God isn't just interested in your heart. He's interested in your entire life. We were in Haiti and we went in the village and I told the people there, I said, my God who sent me here isn't just interested in your heart and you saying some prayer. He's interested in your physical health. Tonight maybe you're dealing with a sickness. I've got a God who wants to cover you with the blood. Because you see, when the light comes in and the blood of Jesus Christ comes over, everything that was once dirty gets washed white as snow. Everything that was once messed up and in darkness, when the light hits, boom, it can't stay anymore. Tonight, is your life covered by the blood? Is your life marked by the blood? Is your life this real Christianity? Or is it an inveneer? A falsehood? Guys, everyone wants someone who's real. You want to get real tonight. You want to quit being fake. Because you see, when you're ready to accept true life, Jesus is ready to give it. The Bible says, whoever knocks, it's open. Tonight, you might be feeling a knock. You might be feeling something in your heart. I'll just tell you about this guy named Jesus. I invite you to experience him. I invite you to feel what true life is. Because the Bible talks about, let whoever denies himself and picks up his cross follow me. You see, only when we let our lives get marked by this blood are you going to find true life. You think you found life in a bottle? Now let me tell you, I got something that's far better than an alcohol that'll make you forget. I've got a Jesus who's not going to let you forget. He's going to heal your past hurts. You want to escape reality. Here's some drugs. Slip into another world. Now I'm going to tell you what. There's a Jesus tonight who's going to take you to a real world, to a real life.
tonight, Jesus, I want to be marked by your blood. I want to live my life behind the door that leads to order in life. I want to live my life in a place where I don't have to worry about tomorrow because I know you're already in it. Tonight, my question to you is this. Are you alone? Is life alone where you're at? There's a God and Jesus and Emmanuel, one who walks with you. Just stand. Can I get everyone to stand up? We're about to head to the house. Thank you.